So, can I pray? Thank you, Jesus, that you are Father, that you are King, that you have chosen us. We're here for a reason, Lord, and just speak through the word tonight. Open hearts. Hearts of rock, make it soft. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm basically going to talk again about this morning, but hopefully the Spirit will fill us in with more than this morning or with something else. But I need to talk about godly character. And godly character is something that I have been trying to find myself in the last few weeks. I've been asking questions about what is godly character. And because I feel that there's a need for men and women with a godly character in these times that we are living in. So what is it that we see in people in the Old Testament that was that God really used powerfully to move into the Spirit? And they really honored God, and they were really searching for His heart. And what is the difference between me and you and these people? If we look at Moses, Joshua, Jonah, Samuel, all these prophets, David. David was a man close to God's heart because every time he sinned, he knew he was wrong, he repented. He fell on the floor and he asked for God's heart and for forgiveness. Ezekiel, God asked Ezekiel to lay on one side. I didn't mention this morning, actually tied up for 390 days on one side, not to move. 40 days on the other side. Only thing he had to eat was like leaves and some food that he had to cook. God first said, cook it on men's, what's men's? So again? Human pieces. Thank you very much. I didn't know how to say this. So he complained. He said, God, please, I don't even eat old meat. God said, okay, you can make it on cow dow. I just dung. Dow, not that dung. Thank you, Tom. I've been back for too long in South Africa. And then even the woman that we look at, Esther, Deborah, Miriam, Sarah, Hannah, all these women that God has placed in a certain time for a certain reason in the Old Testament. I mean, Esther actually saved the whole Jewish community at that stage. But God prepared her for what was coming. And God prepared people in those times to go out in wicked times where He needed to show people. I mean, Jonah had to go to, what is it, Dorf's name in English? Nineveh. And he tried to run away. But God still sent him back, and he had to learn a lesson. But these people were from a different world. Where did these people get the Holy Spirit stamina to do these things? To lay on your side for 390 days. Women and men that really started crying for God when they knew they had sinned for 2 to 3 weeks. On their knees, pulling out their beards, their hair, pulling off the clothes without water. They really mourned for God's heart. They searched for God's heart in that moment because they knew they have sinned. People in the Old Testament fast for 40 days. I don't think we can do it for 3 days. Most of us complain if we have to fast for 3 days. What's bothering me is that these people were the examples for us for today, because they had a passion for God that we don't have. There was something in them that God has done. Something in them, or that there was something that God put His hand over them and used them. And what was it? Right now we're living in a time where the world is at its most wicked ever. Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked. Nineveh were wicked, but not as wicked as now. So we see things happening in the world. They're not even ashamed of it anymore. If there was ever a time, I think, that nations and churches and communities needed men and women like that in the Old Testament, I think it's now. Why did God raise up men of a different sort and women? Why? God sent them so that they can show God's heart towards nations and people. If they were sinning, God would use these people to show them that you're sinning and try to get them back, win them back. They had the anointing over their lives, as we do. We have anointing over our lives, but what is it that we're not doing? We need to search. We need to find something that is missing in our hearts. Why would God raise up men and women in the Old Testament at times when they really needed it, and not raise up men and women now for the time that is coming? The end is near. It's closer than I think it's ever been before. If you only look at the wickedness of the world, it should be red lights. We have thanks. Sorry guys. We have a responsibility to find out why these men and women did what they did and how they did it. So we're going to look at Ezra 7 verse 6. So they were driven. These people were driven. Why aren't we driven? It says this Ezra went up to Babylonia, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses. Very important that the Lord, the God of Israel, had given, and the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. For some reason, the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. And the reason was, and this is important, is that he was skilled in the law of Moses. So he studied the law. The law wasn't just something on paper, it was written in his heart. Something written on his heart and in his heart. And that is why God used him. Ezra 7, 9 to 10. For on the first day of the first month, he began to go up from Babylonia. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem for the good hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. So he, in his mind, he was going to, the reason he went there was to teach Israel who God really is, because they were lost. And the whole history about it is that they started building the temple and they stopped because of kings coming in and out. And at the end, Ezra went there. He was sent, and the king gave him everything he needed. If you go and read more in Ezra, it says they fasted before they went to the king asking for something. He had a heart. He was searching for God. The real reason for Ezra going there was to bring the church back to its real, his real purpose. He wanted the church, Israel, to bring them back to their real purpose, what God was called, what they were called to do. They were building churches and they putting up altars. What is altars? Yes, that's good. They were putting up altars and they were building the church. But they were not building their hearts. They were not building in their hearts. And that God wanted people to see his church in the people. And not the building. Something happens to Ezra. And the whole Jewish people that's around him. They were married to the woman outside of Israel. Ezra 9 verse 1 says, after these things had been done, the officials approached me and said, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands with their abominations. From the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and Ammonites, and Moabites, and Egypt. So something's happening now here. He has started teaching people in the Word of God. And something switches on inside themselves, their hearts. And they recognize that they're actually sinning. They're still sinning. Verse 3 to 6. So as they tell Ezra, this happens. As soon as I heard this, I tore my garment and my cloak and pulled hair from my head and beard and sat appalled. Then all who trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the faithlessness of the returned exiles gathered around me while I sat appalled until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose from my fasting with my garment and my cloak torn, and fell upon my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God, saying, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to the heavens. So everyone recognized that they are doing sin in the camp and they need to change. They needed to send their wives and children away. I think that should be one of the hardest things to do. Because they have studied the laws of God. It wasn't something on paper anymore. It was something that started to live inside of them. They started picking up God's heart as Ezra picked up God's heart. They started picking up the same heart that Ezra had for God. They wanted more. I think this is the thing that God really, that happened. They wanted more of God. I think to have a temple in the middle and seeing God coming down and being there must have been amazing. I think it's like for us when we worship and we really experience the Holy Spirit. And something else happens between us and you can just feel the Holy Spirit moving. I think it was the same idea. The same thing happened when God came down. God moved between His people when they really searched for Him. When their hearts was in place. The Word of God made them a living temple, each one of them. Now I want to jump away from Ezra because these guys were all radical. I want to show you in the New Testament what John the Baptist did. Luke 3 verse 2 to 3. He said, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. So he was not living as a normal person, and he was also not normal. And he went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This was before Jesus was baptized. He said to the people, you need to be baptized so that your sins will be forgiven. But he was so radical that next thing, I believe that this is what one of the reasons why his head got chopped off. And Matthew 3 verse 7 to 12, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So he warns them. And it's a very strict warning. And I can just think that the Pharisees didn't like him. And because he didn't even baptize them, he already saw what they were trying to do. But now the next thing happened, and Jesus came and he said, wanted to be baptized. And Jesus didn't really need to be baptized because he was perfect. He was Son of God. But still, he got baptized. Why? Matthew 3, verse 13 to 15. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan and to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, then he consented. The Afrikaans, and maybe some of the English words said, we need to do my Father's will, I think, if I'm right. He didn't do it because he had to. He did it because his Father told him to. He knew that it would be something that we need to do. Something, we needed something in this world. We needed someone to look to. And we need to look to Jesus. Jesus was the most radical person ever of all of them. He died on the cross. And he didn't have to, not for us, not for this world, but still he did. What is it that we need to do to be radical? We need to search God in his word. We need to search God's heart. There's three things you need to start. The first one is you have to give your life to Jesus. You need to be baptized. And you need to pray that the Holy Spirit will come over you and fill you. That's only the beginning. The next thing you need to do is to trust the Holy Spirit that it will guide you, use you, talk to you, most important, change you. You cannot do it alone. May God's word start to live in our hearts. May God send us where no man wants to go. May we listen to what he is telling us and respond. May we walk in the storm on the water, and may we tell the storm to be still. Why? Why am I telling you this? Because I know Jesus. That's it. I know my identity. I know who I am. I had to change. I had to come at some stage in my life where I knew I could not do this on my own. I was dead. And I needed to be alive. I needed God to lit my candle inside of my heart. Our identity, my identity has changed completely. Not because I changed it. God changed it. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't stand here. It's impossible. Probably would have been dead already. I have lost many friends. I have seen many wicked things. And still God loves me and changed me. Why? Because he wants to. As easy as that. He wants to change us. He wants our hearts. He's my Savior. He is my King. He is my God. He's my Father. He is everything that I need. If you don't need Jesus, you need to ask a question again. Why am I here? Why are we here? Radical times, we need radical people. And the times are coming. This morning I spoke about the harvest. I'm good, but I'm not that good. The weekend I went with the kids away a bit. And the harvest was standing thick. And I could see the farmers needed to drive a bit slower to get the harvest cut. And God just put on my heart that in saying that the harvest is coming. harvest is coming. We need people. We need leaders. We need people that will stand up radical, men and women. In this church, I'm going to be honest, we do not have enough leaders in this church yet. We as elders are praying for it. Right now. Because God is sending out already some of our workers into the fields rapidly, quickly. Sometimes God works as a tortoise. Sometimes he works as a jet plane. We didn't even have a chance to think about Lynn and Eddie, and God has sent them already. It's just how he works. But the harvest is there, it's ripe. But we don't have enough workers. So what I'm praying for, and what we are praying for, is that God will work in hearts, raise up leaders, men and women, that will be radical, that will not stand back, that will not be afraid to say something when it's right and when it's wrong. We live in a time where people, the word says, people will, what's it, the itchy ears, they will, what is the right, people will listen or preach for people's itchy ears, am I right? Yeah, they will listen to people with itchy ears. Well, people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. There might be a time that we will be locked up, that we will be killed. It's already here. It's not just some areas in Africa, in the world, Christians are being killed and locked up for what they believe. Let's close our eyes. I just want to pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your heart. Thank you that you want to use us. You want to raise us up as leaders. Maybe not always as a church leader, but sometimes in our community or in our towns and in our selves. Sometimes we think that we're not good enough. And it's a lie. Because you live in us, and that's good enough. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you can look at me, it's fine. If there's anyone that, I can't really see anyone, I don't know. If there's anyone, doesn't matter how old you are, and you have not given your life to Jesus, you can give your life to Jesus tonight. And he will save you. Let him be your savior. Is there anyone? You can just come to the front. No one. Everybody's been saved. Radically. Yeah. You want to share?
Actually, as he was talking, I just got reminded of Marius and who Marius is. Most of you known him for years, and no, you can stand, you can sit and stand whatever you want. But if this one of our elders that actually his character has changed to a godly character through the years, he's probably the one with the biggest character change in years and still changing. So what he spoke about today through this evening and this morning is actually such a testimony in his life of somebody that's God changed. I've only heard the stories of who Marius was, but I remember, 10 or 9 years ago when I came here. I was here after him, but 9 years ago, meeting him and seeing who he is and who he's become through God and his character is just amazing. And I was reminded of Peter, in 2 Peter. So this letter in 2 Peter, Peter wrote just before he knew that he was going. He knew he's going to the Lord. So that's an amazing letter to go and read and study. What's Peter's last, the rock of the church? What is his last letter to the world? And in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter 1, I want to read from verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Okay, so remember, remember the scripture that it says, eternal life, knowing God is eternal life. Knowing God is eternal life. So if you want to know what's eternal life, knowing God is eternal life. And Peter says, to know God is this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. So he's talking about character. Okay. Goodness and to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge, here it is, in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So basically what he says is, want to know Jesus? Have a good character. And all those character traits. And seeing his life and how his character changed, I see how he's beginning to see Jesus more and more in his life. I just see it in his life. I see how he changes, how he actually had a prophetic word, and I keep on reminding him of it, that your strong points will become your weak points, and your weak points will become your strong points. As his character changes, he's starting to see more of Jesus. So if you want to have eternal life, make sure you have a strong character. You want to know Jesus? Make sure you've got a strong character. And that's exactly, Morris is very prophetic. Okay, he's very prophetic, and he picks up in the spirit the same, and we spoke about it as the elders quickly on Tuesday morning, but I know that the body of Christ is lacking people of good character. People of good character, really persevering, really looking and searching, and where's God? Grinding. We're used to fast foods and getting everything quickly. Lockdown took forever for us. It's only been 6 months. The fathers of the faith, how long did Abraham wait? We can carry on looking back at the characters and how long they waited for God, because they had character. And if I look at his life, even with everything he does go through in his life, I see character change. And I see how he sees Jesus. So make sure that you persevere in your character in God. Sorry, I want to testify of his life, and I want to honor God for what he's doing in Morris. And tonight was really, for me, it's as he was preaching, I'm like, this guy isn't just, he's testifying actually what God's been putting in his heart. Good. Give you a bit. Worship. No, it's only 6. Yeah, come, let's worship. Let's worship. You know,